Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
On today's show, we're coming off a very hot NFL draft where yours truly went 3-0 on his backup, the Brings Truck Bets, for Thursday night's first round. We're not going to talk about Green Bay taking another defensive back instead of an offensive lineman like I wanted, and we're not going to talk about Aaron Rodgers no longer potentially being my quarterback. In fact, we're not talking about the NFL at all today because I don't have the heart for it. Instead, we're talking about the big horse race coming on Saturday. Yeah, that's right, the Kentucky Derby. And for the first time ever, we welcome to the show a man known as Uncle Milty. It's all about the horses, and that's coming up next on the only gambling show that makes you money.
How do you say that?
How do you know that?
Five simple words,
that's impossible,
Mr. Michaels,
to know.
Back up the Brinks truck.
Who you betting on? Always on black. Fast stats in the pocket. Whole squad. Fast tag. Send the bookie. Tell him bring it from the bag. Know we coming for the bag.
West Coast. West Coast. West Coast. West Coast.
C to the G, West Coast Gang.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to the few in attendance and the thousands listening around the world, welcome to the West Coast Gamblers. My name is Tony Cavallo. As always, I'm joined by Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer Crookson, and today is the Kentucky Derby, baby. We have a horse expert coming on to give us all the facts on not only how to bet the horses, but who's going to win the Kentucky Derby, and a little sprinkling on some Kentucky Oaks action as well, so you can get money before the Derby even begins. I can't wait to talk to him. I can't wait to make our list his money. Schaefer the Sharp, this is your guy coming in. What do you have to say before we meet him?
This guy is like a kind Breaking Bad character, except in dealing with drugs. He deals in horse racing. He is an expert. He is a wealth of knowledge. I cannot wait to have my main man, Uncle Milty, on the pod. You guys are going to enjoy it.
I can't wait either, man. And afterwards, after the Uncle Milty interview, we're going to take that knowledge and we're going to dive right into our Back Up the Brinks Truck Bets for the Kentucky Derby. I can't wait for Saturday at Churchill Downs. Let's cut right to the chase. Let's jump into our interview with the one, the only, Uncle Milty, coming up next.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest has been betting on horses for over 35 years, and he's been a fixture at Northville Downs for multiple decades. He has placed bets in person at world-famous tracks such as Saratoga, Keeneland, Gulfstream Park, Santa Anita, and the Golden Gates. Since his birth, he has watched over 500,000 horse races. That's 500,000 for those of you who stink at math. And Uncle Milty does not stink at math because he went to the University of Alabama. When he's not fishing in Costa Rica sipping on Arnold Palmers, you'll find this man at the pay window cashing in tickets on the ponies till the cows come home. We are proud to have him on making his world podcast debut. Please welcome the one, the only, the mysterious, the notorious Uncle Milty. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me on. I'm ready to go.
Milty, man, you are ready to go, man. And listen, me and you, we've known each other for a long time. Would you believe I told these guys, I'm not even sure if I've ever actually seen your face. Maybe one time in a fuzzy memory in Vegas. But it's good to see you. Thanks for being here, dude.
I'm pumped because it's all about the Derby. It's the biggest horse race of the year. It's the one where everyone comes out of the woodwork to think they're an expert on horses. And we actually have an expert to tell us where to put our money because we are the gambling show that makes our listeners money. Now, Drew talked about earlier that you have some bets for us for races that are before the Derby. Is that right, Drew?
That's correct. The Kentucky Oaks is always run Friday before the Derby. It's an all-female race, I believe. That's correct, right, Milty? All females for the
correct.
Oaks?
Correct. They're all three-year-old fillies.
And so we're gonna have some action on that. But before we get into that, for a guy like a Dangles maybe, or for most people listening to this podcast, horse racing can be a little intimidating and complex. Here at the West Coast Gamblers, we love to educate our listeners, and typically we do a Schaefer the Sharp Gambling School. I'm going to kick that over to you today, Milty. royalty, because I just want you to explain the listener base, kind of like a Michael Scott. Explain to me like I'm six. But just the mechanics of horse betting, when, what's a win, place, show bet, an exacta, a trifecta, you can box them all up. Can you just give us a quick rundown of actual betting on the ponies?
Yes, I can. When I first started in horse racing gambling back in, like, say, 1983, when I got out of college, I first started, a person told me just to start betting win, place, and show. And that is the most simplest way to bet horses is win, place, and show. You put your $2 on, let's say, the 10 horse, and if he comes in first, second, or third, you will cash your money. And it's an easy way just to watch the races and maybe get an idea of how the odds work and how much money you can make on betting your win, place, and show. Now, if you do okay in that, then you can move your way into exotic bets like exactas, trifectas, or superfectas.
And the exactas, now, those are, just for reference, those are, you pick two horses, and they have to come in first and second. But if you box those horses, it doesn't matter if they come in first and second. It's just those two horses got to be in pole position, 1-2, and you get paid out, correct?
Correct. Let's just say you box 1-2. If it comes 2-1 or 1-2, you get paid. Typically, you know, as the year's gone on, I found that a $3 exacta box, most people play $2 exacta boxes, but I play $3 exacta boxes, and you get 1.5 times what the $2 price is. And a lot of times a $3 exacta box will pay more than a $1 trifecta, which would be half of what a $2 trifecta would pay. So in the long run, I've made a lot more money on $3 exacta boxes than I would have if I tried to play a trifecta instead.
Wow, I love that insight. That is some excellent insight. Now, Milty, we're not going to ask you specifically dollar amounts that you may or may not have won in the past, but I think one amazing thing about horse racing is it is kind of a lottery game. You can bet a small amount of money to win a lot of money. So, for example, can you give us just like insight on maybe placing like an $8 exacta box, and you know, one of your horses is 50 to 1 and it comes in, how much could you actually potentially see in a payout?
Okay. Well, I mean, I had a recent, let's just say I had a recent exacta at Gulfstream Park, and I always box the outside two horses. Okay. No matter what the odds are, odds don't scare me. I bet 100 to 1s, 99 to 1s. I played a $3 exacta box on 8-9 at Gulfstream Park about 2 weeks ago. The 8 was on the lead at 6-1, and it was a short turf race, like 5 furlongs. And there was a horse coming on the outside, and I couldn't see it because it was in the shadow. And he came up and won at 75-1.
Wow.
The $2 exacta 9-8 with a 75-1 and a 7-1 that came in second paid $695. Whew. And I got 1.5 times 695.
I'll take it
for a $6 bet.
Hell yeah,
$6 bet. Now that's an angle that I've always played, the outside two horses. I don't ever get scared by odds. I play 99 to 1s like they're going out of style. It's just the way that I play. I really don't care about odds. I just I'm more of a numbers player. I hate to admit it, you know.
Yep.
I play 2, 3, and 4, 5 in every race. I don't care what the odds are. Over 35 years, you can look at these forms until you're blue in the face, and they'll find you the 3-5s and the 4-5s that are going to be first or second.
Yeah.
But they won't find you that 99-1 because his odds or his last 5 or 6 races have not been very good, and that's why his odds are so high. And that's not what scares me. So when I go up and place a bet, if I'm boxing the outside two horses, I really don't care what the odds are. I'm just playing numbers.
I feel like that could be a tough thing for novice gamblers to kind of get their head around, sort of coming in, being, because you know, especially if you're used to betting money lines and spreads and sides and that sort of thing, because it's all about the odds in a lot of those cases. But here, you know, it sounds like, you know, you see the advantage to betting the actual numbers instead.
You are correct. If a person walked into the track like tomorrow, or not, well, tomorrow, yes, tomorrow, not as much tomorrow, but Sunday or Saturday, they're there with $20, and they go up and say they see the odds that are really low, and they may want to play a $2 or $3 exacta box on the favorite or the second favorite together. Mm-hmm. You know, not they really don't care. They just want to just get some action on the time that they're going to be there. And most of them, they're not there very long. They usually end up only staying to get a couple mint juleps, and then they're on their way.
Right.
Take a couple pictures in the fancy hats. I do have one question, though, branching off of that story there. For a man who has watched over 500,000 horse races, we have a segment on this show, a recurring segment with our guests called War Stories, where you might go through maybe a close win that just turned into a loss at the very end. Do you in particular have a war story that has stuck with you over your years of horse racing?
I have one story. I'll tell you the story. The year that Monarcos won the Kentucky Derby, he was 35-1. Invisible Ink, Todd Pletcher's horse, came in second at like 35-1. I had written down those exact numbers like three or four times on a piece of paper, and I left the piece of paper in my car, and I had it written down for a $10 exacta box. And when the race went off and it finished, my friend Ty Field was screaming on the phone that we have it, Milt, we have it. And I'm looking through my tickets and I didn't have it. I looked and I couldn't find it. I wrote it down and I did not play it. It cost us $12,500. I'll never forget it.
Hey, Milty, the only thing I'll say about that is thank God Ty was your partner in that, because me and you both know he's not hurting for cash. But that is a rough.
I'm a professional journalist. That's a lot of money.
Do you notice how I remember the two names of the horses?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. You are never gonna forget the names of those horses. I'm sure you know. I would take those with me to my grave. They'll be etched on my tombstone as what brought me down at the end of the day.
Tony, one second. I got to piggyback off that very quickly, because I want to say this one thing, Uncle Milty. So 11 years ago now, 2010 Breeders' Cup. I'm in Vegas at the Wynn Sportsbook, and let's just say we don't really talk about numbers here in the West Coast Gamblers, but let's just say I had $250 in my pocket, and I looked up and I saw Blame was 4-1 to dethrone Zenyatta that year, and Zenyatta was obviously just an insane horse that year, and so I ended up having $250. I put it on 4-1. A $250 ticket to win $1,250, and as you know, that race is just an iconic race. Zenyatta starts in the back as she always did, and she's coming up fast. And I'll never forget the announcer: Zenyatta, 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 Blame. And Blame ended up winning. by a nose. And I won $1,000. And let me tell you, the people at the sports book thought I probably won $1 billion by my reaction. One guy actually was like, "Did you hit the superfecta? Did you hit it?" I'm like, "I should have 4-1 for $250. He's like, "Oh, you're a loser, man." And since then, Milty, I can say, because I haven't, you know, listened to your picks in some time, I don't think I've cashed a horse racing bet in 10 years. So let's change that this year. Let's go, Tony. Lead us in.
Well, I wanted to start with those Kentucky Oaks races that you have for the fillies, Drew. I know you have some of Milty's picks for the Kentucky Oaks races. Try to make some money before the Derby even happens.
Yeah, Milty, why don't you just run through the Oaks very quickly and just tell us your quick handicap of the four horses you can think can do damage.
Okay. Now, usually the Kentucky Oaks is a race that there are usually one or two or three horses that are the fillies, that are the three-year-old fillies, that are pretty much equal in the race. And in this race, it is that way. The three horses that I like a lot are the 6 Travel Column, the 10 horse Malathot, who's going to be the favorite. Now, that is the Shadwell Farms horse, and he is he just died, the owner of that Shadwell Farms. He's Sheikh Hamdan bin Rashid Al Maktoum, one of the ruling leaders of Dubai. He died 3 weeks ago, and his brother actually has the favorite in the Derby. So it's an unusual situation where two brothers could win the Oaks and the Derby in the same year. Now, the other horses, Search Results is the 12th horse. So 6, 10, and 12 are the horses that basically should be vying for first place. And the two long shots I like are the 4, which I already mentioned, Crazy Beautiful. And the one that I spotted later today when I was looking at the track was numbered the outside horse, Millafuel, with Joel Rosario, 20-1 morning line. Bill Mott's horse, bred by Curlin. Curlin handles the dirt, the turf. It doesn't really matter. And I like that 14 really as a good long shot to come in with the 6, 10, and 12.
So, Milty, I'm gonna run down these picks as you have emailed me them, and I just want to tell our listeners, when you're betting horse, you're just betting numbers, correct? And that's just based on the pole position. So if I say four or five, that's actually so for example, four is Crazy Beautiful in the Kentucky Oaks.
Correct. Four, yes.
Okay, so for Milty's picks in the Oaks to win, he likes the number four, Crazy Beautiful. He likes the number five, Pass the Champagne to Place, which, remember, folks, that's a second or first place bet. You win your money. And to show third place or better, the number 12, Search Results. I'll run through these exactas very quickly. And Milty, just to clarify, these are straight exactas, right?
Now I wrote down my exactas, yes. And you and the normal bettor probably would play it for $2 if you want up to three or whatever value you want to run it for. But yeah, those are exacta boxes. So I wrote down 1, 2. You can play that for two, it'd be $4, and 4, 5, 3, 6, 6, 8, and 10, 11.
And that's just going off of your middle posting theory. I like that a lot. And then finally,
I play numbers. Truthfully, over 30 years, I've realized that numbers come in next to each other. So I always play numbers that are next to each other. Like if the favorite's the 12, I always play them with the 11 and the 10, or the 12. Excuse me. If the 12 is the favorite, I play them with the 11 and 13. You know, and I like playing numbers next to each other because for some reason, they always seem to run next to each other.
I love that. And then finally, for the superfecta in the Kentucky Oaks, the long shot. You're going to buy a lottery ticket Friday. You might as well lay a superfecta with Milty. You like the 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, just to keep going in that right next to each other. And that is your superfecta bet. Now, so you could bet basically, what would that be? Like 50 cents?
It's called a 10 cent superfecta box. And you just go up to the window or tell them you want a 10 cent superfecta box, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. It's a $12 punch. Now,
perfect.
If it comes 14, 13 to start with, it's 20-1 over 50-1. It doesn't really matter if you get the other two, it's going to pay probably $3,000 for a dime. Probably
10 cents to turn into $3,000 is a good profit margin. Dangles? You can handle that.
It's a 10 cent increment. You're boxing it. The actual cost is $12.
Right.
I understand.
Yeah. Let's just back up here. I want to say one thing. If the casual bettor wants to place, they have a daily double bet, the Oaks and the Derby. And a lot of people play that where you play the winner of the Oaks and the winner of the Derby. Okay. If it was me, yep, I would play a $2 daily double, 4, 6, 10, 12, 14 with the one horse, which is Irad Ortiz on Known Agenda, who, yep, I like to win the Derby, the one horse.
Okay.
So that's a $10 ticket for $2, and you have 4, 6, 10, 12, 14. They have to win the first leg, and then and Irad Ortiz on Known Agenda has to win the Derby.
And that's the one on the Derby?
The one, yep. The one.
Perfect. Okay, very good. I'm definitely going to be placing that. That is good stuff, my man.
Well, let's move on now to the big race. The reason why we're doing this podcast, it is the Kentucky Derby Day. Everyone's dressed, as we were talking before, they're drinking those mint juleps. I'm going to run through the field right now, their position, the horse, and the odds that I found online for this. And then, Milty, you can give us your picks, your leans, anything you want to take, maybe some information on the horses and how you think this will play out depending on the style of the race. So we have, in the one spot, as we said before, Known Agenda right now, 6-1 odds. The next four horses are 50-1 long shots. 2, Like the King. 3, Brooklyn Strong. 4, Keep Me in Mind. 5, Sainthood. 6, Obesos is 20-1. Probably my favorite name in the field. 7, Mandaloon is 15-1. 15-1 is also the 8, Medina Spirit, the Bob Baffert horse. Number 9 is Hot Rod Charlie, an 8-1 horse. Number 10, Midnight Bourbon. Dangles likes that one at 20-1. 20-1 is also 11, Dynamic One. 12 and 13 are both 50-1 long shots. Helium and Hidden Stash. 14 is the favorite, a 2-1 favorite, Essential Quality. 15 is Michael Jackson's song, Rock Your World, at 5-1. 16 is King Fury at 20-1. 17, Highly Motivated at 10-1. The last three horses are all 30-1. 18, Superstock. 19, Soup and Sandwich. 20, Bourbonic. Now, Uncle Milty, We were talking earlier in our little pre-interview. You were talking about the style of this race and how it will determine what happens at the end. Do you want to go into that a little bit?
Yes, there's probably three or four speed, actual speed horses in this race. I can tell you that Hot Rod Charlie will be close to the lead, starting leaving the gate. Superstock is going to be close to the lead, and Soup and Sandwich, the horse that ran a huge race in the Florida Derby, he just got nipped right at the wire by a known agenda at the wire with Irad Ortiz. Those three horses are probably going to be on the lead, and the middle runners are actually the horses that are going to be in the middle. Are the two favorites, basically. Irad Ortiz on the one horse, and number 14, Essential Quality, the Sheikh Mohammed Godolphin homebred with Luis Saez. Now, I have to explain something to you, to the bettors outside that would not know all this stuff, that the one horse has not won the Derby since 1986 when Ferdinand with Willie Shoemaker up was the last winner. Now, 5 years ago, the one horse, looking at Lucky, was the only horse in the last 20 or 30 years that even hit the boar in second. And he was like 25-1. Now, they have a new gate. They have a new gate at Churchill Downs. They used to have a gap between the 14 and 15 a post. Now it's they bought a new gate in from France, and it's a full 20 horses across, so there's no gap between the 14 and 15. And when they did that, they moved the one post about 10 feet over. They've run three races at the meet at a mile and a quarter. Out of the three races, two of the winners have been from the one post at a mile and a quarter.
Wow.
The same distance that is going to be run on Saturday. Now, that is a good reason, because you know why? Irad Ortiz, the second best jockey, I think, in the world behind Luis Saez on the favorite. The 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 are not going to be anywhere around at the start of the race. If it was before and he had to move his way around the rail, he would not be able to get in a position. But now, since the starting gate has been moved over 10 or 15 feet, he has that ability to get up the rail and get a good position into the first corner. He'll probably be, I'm going to guess, 5th or 6th going into the first corner with all the speed horses in front of him. And Luis Saez on the 14 is going to probably be right behind him, tracking him all the way around with the speed horses going to the, maybe to the half mile and 48. If they go 48 to the half mile, it's going to be a boat race to the finish between the 14 and the one. That's all I see.
Okay. I like knowing that logic. That helps me make some picks in the future. Dangles, you got any questions for Uncle Milty on the Derby?
All right. So for a novice bettor like me then, who maybe hasn't bet the ponies many times and maybe just kind of wants to get started, like you said, you know, with a win place show, it's easy to look at the odds and go, okay, 2-1, that's, you know, plus 200. That's not too bad. Like, I'm going to double my money, but you really want to, I feel like we talked about this being a lottery game and it's more fun to place some bets on longer shots and try to make a little bit more scratch. So, you know, if you're just kind of trying to get started and maybe just want to mess around with some win place show bets, where are you looking here? Just to get started, who are your favorites?
Matt, I'll give you two horses that I really like that are going to be off the charts long, 17 and 18. I'll tell you why if you want to know. The 18 horse is Superstock. The horse won the Arkansas Derby. He was pinned on the inside. He was behind three other horses. He didn't get out till like maybe an eighth of a mile to go. Had a lot of dirt thrown in his face, and he went by those horses like they were standing still in the last 16th of a mile. Now, horses don't like getting dirt thrown in their face. A lot of good horses get straight to the lead and they never get that dirt thrown in their face. When you get dirt thrown in your face, first of all, it gets in your eyes, it gets up your nose, they have a hard time breathing. And this horse went by that horse, like I said, like he was tied to the post. His morning line right now is 30-1. He should not be more than 10-1. This 17 horse, highly motivated. This horse ran a bang-up race in the Bluegrass Stakes. He was on the lead 4-1, and he led every step of the way until the favorite, who was Luis Saez's horse, and the favorite, the Derby, Essential Quality, got him on the last jump. Now, Todd Pletcher's been known Todd Fletcher has been known to.
He's a big name in the Derby, isn't he? As I read.
Pardon me?
He's a big name in the Derby, as I read, Todd Fletcher.
Now, Todd Fletcher has four horses in this race. Now, his best horse, the horse I really like, Known Agenda. I mean, but when he brings four horses to a lot of these big races over the last 30 years, a lot of times it's not his horse that's the favorite. It's just like Bob Baffert. When he brings three horses, it's not his big favorite that wins the race. He had Indian Charlie, and Indian Charlie went up at 2-1, but Real Quiet won at 13-1 or 12-1 or something like that. It's always the second string horses that these big trainers bring to these tracks, especially in the big races, that they run really, really well. Okay. But the two, if you were to walk up and not know anything about horse racing, I wrote down, I know one of my boxes, hold on. I didn't have enough room, but I was gonna write down 17-18. I'm gonna box 17-18 tomorrow. It's 10-1 and 30-1. If that comes in, you're gonna get $1,000.
Just don't write it down and leave it in your car, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say, we know what happens when you.
So, I do want to ask real quick before you get to it, Drew. I do want to ask. You're talking about the 17 highly motivated, but also the 14 essential quality. Do you ever pay attention to the history of those pole positions and where they do in the Derby? I know the 17 spot has never won the Kentucky Derby. The 14 spot hasn't won since 1961. Does that affect you at all, or do you say F history?
Let's put it this way. I know the history. I know that there are certain post positions that don't do very well, like I told you before, the one hole, because, you know, no one wants to get the one hole. But that was before they have the new gate.
Right.
Okay. So I can eliminate the one position and say, you know, that you know, it wasn't a very good position. Now, I will say at the early times of the Derby, there was a limited field and the inside horses dominated. So the statistics that you look at, if you go back and look at the statistics, sure, the inside horses dominated. But if you look at the statistics for the last, like, say, 15 years, the middle to the out has dominated. No one had ever won from the 20 hole until Big Brown won.
Yep.
In fact, no one had ever won from the outside post in the Florida Derbies since they reconfigured the track to a mile an eighth from the outside post, and he won by 10 lengths.
Yep.
Okay. So you can't say that, well, just because a horse has this one post position, it's not going to win. But there are certain post positions that you're right, that are not very good. They haven't won very much. Now, this 15, the 15 has won, according to my notes, six of the last 10, including last year's Authentic, was the 15. So Rock Your World is a horse with Joel Rosario, John Sadler. He won the Santa Anita Derby off the pace, basically close to the pace. He's lifetime. He's 3-for-3, and he's made 546,000, and his morning line is 5-1.
Yep.
Now, he'll probably move up from there, especially if Sheikh Mohammed's horse, the 14, takes a ton of money, because I just heard Mac is going to bet $4 million on this horse tomorrow.
Whoa. On what horse? On which one?
The 14 horse, the guy that owns
the guy that owned
Run Happy,
yep,
and the undefeated sprinter. He owns that. He has a mattress factory down in Houston, and he's walking to the track tomorrow, and he's going to be bet between $3 or $4 million on essential quality. And he's going to bet it at the track at Churchill Downs because he wants to make sure that the Kentucky horsemen get their money. If he bets online, they don't get
exactly
as much money as he did if he would be there. So yeah,
Okey-dokey.
That's very generous of the man, and also very ballsy. But I guess if you're a billionaire, what can you do? Milty, you emailed me your picks, so this is the time of the show we're going to tell our listeners get their pens and paper out. We're going to go through them here quickly. You gave us some long shots. I love going off of your win bet here that you emailed me this morning. You have the number 11. To win, that is Midnight Bourbon. That's Dynamic 11. One. Yep, yep, Dynamic One.
Yeah. Jose Ortiz, yep.
Yep, so
actually, those win places and show numbers that I gave you, I would play all of those numbers, win, place, and show. It's not just the 11 and first, the 15 and second, the 18. Bet all those numbers as your win, place, and show.
Perfect. Thank you for clarifying. That's great. So we have the 11th. We have the 11 at Dynamic 1. We have the 15 horse, Rock Your World. And we have the 18, Superstock. And that is one that you already had talked about, a long shot at 30-1. Here's some exactas, and I love this, Milty, because going on your theory of putting horses that start together, finish together, I see it here, and I love the strategy, and I'm going to be placing all these bets. I'm very excited. We have a 5-6 exacta. We have a 1-18 in your theory of the ends coming together at the end. I love that. We have an 8-9. We have a 13-14. And finally, we have a 14-15. Milty, I'm going to ask real quickly. These are obviously exactas, so they have to come in that exact order. What is the downplay here of boxing those? Obviously, you get decreasing odds, but what's the downplay of boxing those so they can finish in either order and you still cash your ticket? Do you have a preference, or you just prefer to get the higher payout to finish exactly the order?
Okay. Here's the way I figured this out a long time ago. I mean, it's just the way that I play. If you like a horse in the race, and I like Essential Quality, which is Sheikh Mohammed's horse, I always play, and you'll see my trifecta, I play 14 with all in second, and the horses that are inside of him and outside of him in third place. So 14 with all with 13-15. Now, you have to box 13-14 and 14-15 just in case Essential Quality wins and the 13 gets second or the 15 gets second.
Yep.
Then you've got the exacta, you know, and you could win the try also if it comes 14-15-13 or 14-13-15. But I've always done that no matter what, how many numbers there are in the race. If I like the four horse in the race, I always play four with all with 3-5, and I box 3-4 and 4-5.
That's perfect. And finally, the superfecta in the Derby. This is the big one that you could be coming home, getting Teslas and jet skis if this thing hits, boys and girls. We have the 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20 in the superfecta. That's that dime for $12 that's going to pay out lots of money. That is Uncle Milty's superfecta bet. Milty, man, I know you've got a lot of fellow horse bettors that are going to become fans of West Coast Gamblers because of your appearance on this podcast. We know you're going to spread the love. So is there anyone that might be listening to this that you want to give a shout out to?
Yeah, I'd like to give a shout out to, you know, you've heard of Murderers Row with Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig in the 1927 Yankee team. We have our own Murderers Row at North Hill Downs, and it's, I'll just list the people that are in the Murderers Row. It's Shane, Tom the Dog. We got two Jims. We got two Grumpy Jerrys. We got Frank. We got Gordon. We got APND Mike. He bets every horse that's sired by APND. His girlfriend, Sarah. We got Brian from Canada. And I'd like to send a special shout out to Frances. She's probably the nicest paramutual teller I've ever met in my life, and I've seen a lot of them. So keep the good work up, Frances, and keep giving me some winners.
That was a awesome, fantastic sounding cast of characters right there. They sound like great people just from the names you listed off. I love it. I couldn't tell if they were wise guys or horse bettors, maybe both, but
awesome. Well, I want to thank you for giving us your wealth of knowledge, coming on the West Coast Gamblers. Uncle Milty, it was a pleasure having you. We're smarter people because of what you've just said, and I can't wait to talk to you in the future about the Preakness, the Belmont, and other horse races down the line. And if you're listening to the show after this, three hosts here will be taking the knowledge that we just got and giving our picks for the Kentucky Derby, and that's coming up right after the break. But first, thank you again, Uncle Milty, for coming on.
I appreciate it, and hopefully we can get some winners, and I'll see you guys in 2 weeks for the Preakness.
Can't
Uncle
wait.
Milty, you're the resident horse expert for the West Coast Gamblers. Congrats, you just got promoted.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and this is Pit Pass F1, a brand new podcast that'll take you closer to the action of the world's most prestigious motorsport. From Monaco to Miami and Australia to Azerbaijan, Pit Pass F1 is on the ground and has you covered. Esteemed F1 journalists Julianne Sarasoli and Chris Medland will take you inside the sport every round. They'll keep you up to date with the latest news breaking in Formula One and the most influential views shaping the world of Grand Prix racing. Every Friday, we'll be bringing you a track guide and race preview, and Chris and Drew will be in your feed every morning from Saturday through to Monday to keep you up to date on all the day's action on and off the track. So if you want to be in the know on the latest in Formula One, subscribe wherever you get your favourite podcasts and visit us at evergreenpodcasts.com. Pit Pass F1, a brand new show for Evergreen Podcasts.
And we are back, and what an interview that was. That man is a wealth of knowledge. There's so much more that he had to say that I can't wait to listen to more. I mean, I feel like I became smarter after listening to that conversation. I think I know what I'm doing now when it comes to the Kentucky Derby. And Dangles, I know you took some of his knowledge very well. You got a couple of bets for us for the Kentucky Derby. So let's make our listeners some money, Dangles. What do you have?
Okay, well, I mean, I did a little research beforehand, and I kind of applied some of what Uncle Milty talked about. So, you know, a couple of things. So, highly motivated, I understand, is the popular value pick for this. I believe at 10-1 odds. I'm learning that speed and stamina are very important. The latter more important on the dirt for this 1.25 miles at Churchill Downs. Milty mentioned our speed horses: Hot Rod Charlie, Superstock, Soup and Sandwich, and the middle runner's Known Agenda and Essential Quality. I'm going to let's start off with my super long shot here, and we'll work our way up to a Brinks Truck bet. My super long shot is Hidden Stash at 50-1 odds. And here's why. Here's why. Because it is co-owned by none other than Syracuse University head basketball coach James Boeheim, who told The Athletic, and I quote, "I own two hairs on the tail of the slowest horse in the Derby. This would be like the 68th team in the field winning the national championship." So Hidden Stash comes from what I understand is an impeccable pedigree. He's got a few wins leading up to the Derby, but I read that his speed figures in those races were below average for what you'd want for the Kentucky Derby. However, the fact that Jim Boeheim co-owns him is enough to make him my long shot. So my long shot pick, if I'm going to pick a winner, Hidden Stash, 50-1. I wanted to throw in an exacta box just because I like what Uncle Milty was talking about with Rock Your World and Known Agenda. Yeah. He seemed very confident about the two of them. So I'm going to have an exacta box with Rock Your World and Known Agenda. And I'm going to make my Brinks Truck bet the win place show. My winner, Hot Rod Charlie, 8-1. He's a fast horse. He was one of the speed horses that that Uncle Milty mentioned. There are a lot of people who I was reading who like him as the winner. I'm going to go with him as the winner. My place is Highly Motivated, the popular value pick here at 10-1 odds. I like the bet, and again, it was another one that came up with Uncle Milty. And then my show bet is going to be Superstock, the number 18 horse at 30-1, another favorite of Uncle Milty's. So my Brinks Truck bet is a win place show for Hot Rod Charlie, Highly Motivated, and Superstock.
Thank you, Dangles, for that. I like what you're going with here. And I'm going to go next. We'll save Shea for the Sharp for last because he seems to have 10 notebooks surrounding him and a pencil in his mouth. He's going a little crazy. So we need some time to figure it all out. But based on what Uncle Milty said, I've changed my bet already. I was ready to pick a winner and to kind of go with a long shot, kind of go with your favorite name, do the novice thing. But after what he said about moving the gates 10 feet to the right and that one seed not having to deal with the turn right away and having the open lane and also being next to 4 50-1 horses that he gets to sort of have clear ground right from the start of this thing, I'm going with Known Agenda to win. I really like what Uncle Milty said. I like that he also enjoys the horse. Number one, Known Agenda is my pick to win. I'm also going to throw a little money down on an exacta box. I'm still a little confused on the exacta versus the exacta box, but if I understand correctly, the 14-15 exacta box means I can get those to finish in any order, 1-2.
That's
and
correct.
I love Rock Your World.
That's correct.
I love Rock Your World. I love that Michael Jackson song. I'm going to go with it, 15-14. And Essential Quality with the story about the two brothers, one in the Kentucky Oaks and one in the Kentucky Derby. I like that too. So Known Agenda to win and a little exacta box with 14-15. Those are my two bets. Shea for the Sharp, what do you got?
Guys, Milty, Uncle Milty was awesome. He shout out his Murderer's Row in Northfield Downs. That was super cool. I want to shout out the guy that connected us about 11 years ago, Mr. Ty Field. He booked Milty. He's kind of a talent booker for the West Coast Gamblers, fan of the show. Thank you, Ty Field. Anyway, let's get going to some bets, shall we? I am going to, in the gambling world, this is called tailing, boys and girls. When you tail someone, it means you're literally just copying and pasting someone's pick, and you're riding with them. I love, I love Uncle Milty's daily double of picking the Oaks winner with the Derby winner. I love it. So I'm going to just tail that. And just for review, the Oaks is, he has a 4, 6, 10, 12, 14. So he has any of those five horses to win. And then I'm going to pair that with not only Milty's favorite, but Tony Square's favorite, the number one on the Derby, Known Agenda. I love I love that daily double. We're going to be on the one. And how like mind blowing was that gate? Like, that's amazing. That is
that's amazing information.
That is some great
information. What a great piece of info, right?
Yeah,
like,
that's, I love
only
that.
You're only going to get that here on the West Coast Gamblers from someone who's bet more than 500,000 horse races in his life.
Absolutely. So I'm going to stay with the Oaks for a quick second. I also like so we have the daily double. I'm going to sprinkle something on the number 10, Malfat. Now, he's 5-2, but from what I've been gathering, he is the premier horse in this race. So again, not the shortest or not the longest of odds, but I'm going to bet him straight to win, the number 10 horse at 5-2. And finally, for the Oaks, I'm going to do a little trifecta box. I'm going to box 4, 5, and 12. That's Crazy Beautiful, Pass the Champagne, and Search Results. All Milty's preferred horses. I'm going to put that in a trifecta box, meaning 4, 5, and 12. They finish 1 through 3 in any order. I'm backing up the Brinks truck. That's my Oaks pick. For the Derby, I'm going to keep it simple. I love win, place, or show. I'm going to go, again, I'm going to tail Milty straight up. I'm going to go with the 11. Dynamic One at 20-1. I'm going to go with the 15, Rock Your World at 5-1. And finally on 18, Superstock. I love that. I love that name. I love his odds. 30-1. And my favorite, and my two favorite exacta boxes, the 118, I'm going to exacta box those. They can finish in any order. And I do like 13-14 exacta box and 14-15 exacta box. That's three exacta boxes. Three straight winners. We are ready to bet the ponies, boys. I am jacked up.
A little bit. We're a little excited. I'm pumped for it. And those Kentucky Oaks names, Drew, that you mentioned in your little three for there, they kind of go together in a sentence. Like, would you pass the champagne and I can search results for Crazy Beautiful, if you know what I'm saying. But that's it.
I love it.
But that's it for the Kentucky Derby show. Thank you, Uncle Milty, for coming on. For Tony Cavallo, for Matthew Tangles, Daniel Antonio, Shaver the Sharp, Drew Shaver, Crookson. It's all about the ponies today. We're going to be winning some money on Saturday. We are the only gambling show that makes you money. We are the West Coast Gamblers. And as always, we got a big show coming next week, potentially. Cross your fingers for us, folks. I'm excited what the future brings. Again, we are a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network. And as always, thank you for listening.
Who you betting on? Always on black, fat stats in the pocket, whole squad, fast cash. Send the bookie, tell him bring it from the bag. No, we coming for the bag.
West Coast, West Coast, West Coast, West Coast, West Coast,
West Coast, West Coast, West Coast, West Coast, West Coast, West Coast, West Coast. Who you betting on? Always on black, fat stats in the pocket, whole squad, fast cash. Send the bookie, tell him bring it from the bag. No, we coming for the bag.
Up deep in the pocket, goes down the field for Smith. Oh, he caught it! Smith, touchdown, 85 yards.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!